Glad to be here. Jesus Christ is our living hope, is he not? Amen. This morning we're going to be in Ephesians, first chapter. Ephesians, first chapter, verse 3 through 14. I really appreciate those songs that we sang this morning as we exalt our God. And what I want to talk to us today is about is exalting our God, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. And I hope that the truths that we glean from Scripture today will help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we're just so thankful. We're so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus, that God, that he could have victory over the grave, God, that he could be the propitiation of our sin. God, in him there's salvation. And God, as we study your word and listen to your message today, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would proceed and touch each and every one of us and speak to us uniquely and profoundly. God, that we may draw closer to you, to walk closer to you, and be challenged in our faith. God, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever walked through the woods at one point in your life, or maybe the big deep ditch in the yard? And sometimes we see those big deep ditches, and I want us to think of the term ditch as sin, okay? So we see the big deep ditch, and we try to stay out of that big deep ditch, right? So because we know that's sin. But then we see these other little ditches, and we try to cross those, and, you know, it just came after a rain shower, and yeah, we can make it, right? And then the next thing you know, you're on a butt on your bottom like a slip and slide down to the bottom of the ditch. And then what do you get down to the bottom and your feet are plainly planted in the bottom and all you can see is the muck on your shoes, right? Sometimes that just happens. But sometimes when we try to climb out of our own strength, what happens? We spin out and down we go again. We spin out and down we go again. We spin out and we go down again. Sometimes when we're with a friend, they may extend a hand and help us up. Or parents as children, when our children's in the bottom of the ditch, come on up, right? We can see that almost the symbolism of God and his salvation. When he sees us in the bottom of a ditch, come up, right? We also see that as believers walking with him, we see that as grace, right? Or wallow in it. I tend to live there sometimes for a while. I get in a mess and you're like, man, I just got to get my way out of this and I got to get my way out of that. And I fight and fight and fight. And then finally, what happens? God says, hey, here I am. I've taken care of that. Get up, right? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter, was at the end of his life. He had served God and brought the message to the Gentiles, and now all that was left was his time to go home to heaven. And that was at the hands of Nero. And he didn't look at the muck on his shoes. He didn't look at his circumstances. He didn't look at, I'm stuck, I can't get out and talk to the Gentiles anymore. He looked up and exalted God. And I think that's what he's trying to tell the church at Ephesus then. I think that's what he's trying to tell us now. Hey, let's not look at the muck on our shoes. Let's not worry about our circumstances. Let's exalt our God. Let's read this text. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. I'm reading from the NASB, so I apologize if this translation's a little different. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed to us, the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are first to hope in Christ will be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. The problem is whenever we look at the muck that's around us, our sinful nature gets exposed, doesn't it? The problem is when we focus on our surroundings and the circumstances, God does not get the exaltation he is continually worthy of. Our exaltation becomes shallow and irregular. In the beginning, as the Bible says, God created the heavens and earth, Genesis 1:1. In all wisdom, before the foundation of the world, before he spoke anything into existence, he chose us in Christ Jesus because of and to his glory alone. He is worthy of exaltation through worship. For the blessing he has bestowed upon his church, he blessed us by showing his love for us by redeeming us through the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. He blessed us by showing his love for us by sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He blessed us by revealing to us the fullness of his glory now and what is to come. He blessed us by showing his love for us by not only redeeming us, but also by giving us an inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what Paul says. That's what our heart should say. Brothers and sisters, our God is worthy of profound, continual exaltation and worship. But because God has always loved us providentially, let's open our hearts and exalt God in continuous worship. Did you hear that? Because God has always loved us providentially, let us open our hearts to profound and continuous worship. Go to verse 3. It says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. God's love for us began before he created anything. Did you see that in verse 4? He chose us. He's always chosen who and for what by his own will and for his own glory. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God's love changes us into who he wants us to be. So you wonder, what does he want us to be? Verse 5. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. We can't be holy and blameless on our own strength. That comes through Jesus Christ alone. So what is his desire for us? His desire is to be holy and blameless. So how can we do that? Through Jesus Christ alone. God's love for us makes us family for the praise of his glory. Go to verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, the beloved. So how do we become family? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the adoption through Jesus Christ, we become part of a true family. Have you ever known anybody that's been adopted out and about? Or maybe some of us have been adopted. Some of us may be adopting. A friend of mine, I went to school with him all through high school, and then he moved away, but we still remain in contact after several years. And I asked him in preparation for this, said, his name's Chris. I said, Chris, what was it like when you were adopted? He had been through multiple homes and finally had found his place. He says, I felt a joy. Does your heart have a joy? He felt a joy. He felt peace. Does your heart have a peace in Jesus Christ? That's what he felt. He felt security. Does your heart have a security in Jesus Christ? That's what he felt. And that's what we feel adopted into the family of God. Providentially, God loved you before the foundation of the world. Before the smallest blade of grass was spoken into existence, he loved you. How can we show that love back to the Father? In prayer, right? We can pray thanksgiving. We can pray intercession. We can pray. We can say, God, thank you. We can walk in a manner worthy of our calling, right? We can not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, right? To the people that are lost, the people that aren't in Christ. We can do all those things because why? Because our heart exalts our God. When it comes to prayer, we don't want to pray just a matter of Christian discipline, right? We can bless the meals. We can, oh, it's this time on every day I do this, and I do this, and I do this. We can be really biblically orthodox, and we can be really structured in the way we do things, right? Well, I can have conversations with my kids at home. I have two teenagers. Hey, how was your day? What happens sometimes if we get on this methodical life? How was your day? Fine. Oh, good. I'm glad your day was fine. That's awesome. Your day was fine. Or, hey, what's on your mind? Nothing. Really? I got a lot on my mind. Nothing on your mind? No, God doesn't want to have that kind of prayer life with us. He wants to hear our hearts. He wants to have a walk with us. He wants to invest in our lives. We could do that by prayer. Because God has fully revealed our redemption in Christ, let's open our hearts and exalt our God in continuous worship. Let's look at verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on the earth. Because God fully revealed our redemption in Christ, let's open our hearts to profound and continuous worship. He's revealed his redemptive plan through Jesus Christ for us. Verse 7, in him, Jesus Christ, through his blood, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of trespasses we receive by faith, according to the riches of his grace, his favor without merit, his will alone. He revealed everything through Jesus Christ. The word lavished, verse 8, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. In the Greek text, lavished, it gives you an imagery of taking a shower. I like showers, right? I like the ones that are, you know, just on the borderline, second degree burn. and they're just hot, man, it's just great. Well, that's what this grace is. It's just lavished. It comes and it comes and it comes. We don't deserve it, right? No one deserves a hot shower for eternity like I would love to take, right? But it just comes and it comes and it comes and it smells great. And it just, man, it's awesome. That's the grace that he gives each and every one of his believers. God has revealed everything to us for the fullness of time through Jesus Christ. So the question is, what's left to be revealed? In all wisdom and insight, he revealed the mystery of his will for the fullness of time. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on the earth. Did you hear that? Summing up all things in Christ. Not most things, not most of the things, but all things. Not more to follow later. All things. All things have been revealed to us. The revelation of God and his will is complete because God has fully revealed all things. We can open up our hearts to continuous worship of our God. God has fully revealed our salvation in Jesus Christ. God has fully revealed Jesus Christ to us. God has fully revealed his plan and purpose to us through the Word of God. God has revealed all this to us by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing else to reveal. There is no new revelation. Believe the gospel and trust in him in all things. Sometimes we like to fight that, right? We just kind of hang around. Like, man, God, if you would only do this in my life, I'd have a deeper appreciation, right? God, if you could just show yourself here, that would just be great. Or the unbeliever, man, you know, I think there's a God. I see things. I'm questioning these things. But I'm just kind of on the fence, you know. I just need a little more convincing. Well, to the unbeliever, everything was revealed 2,000 years ago. You wait for nothing. And to those of us that are waiting for God to do this in our life and God to do that in our life, everything has been revealed. Put your faith and trust in him. Recognize our sinful tendency to wait for more revelation. For the unbeliever, not waiting and following him, your salvation depends on it. Because God has sealed us forever by his Holy Spirit, let's open our hearts and exalt our God in continuous worship. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Did you hear that? Because God has sealed us forever by his Holy Spirit of promise. Let's open our hearts to profound and continuous worship. That's his pledge to us that we are indeed children of God, is the Holy Spirit. You are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed in his form means to become, be or become designated and made secure as a sign of authentication and ownership. So today, doing the mic check, and I think it kind of relates to what we're talking about in this little part of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, right? The 120 in the upper room, what did Jesus say? Go and wait. Go and wait. Their ministry was lacking, and then what happened? A loud wind came, and it drew the people, and tongues of fire came upon them, And this glorious thing, the power of God's on full display, and 3,000 people were saved. It makes our walk with Him complete. It's the Holy Spirit of promise. So how do you know I'm a child of God? Because you've been given the Holy Spirit as a sign of authentication and ownership. And in that we can have security. Jesus says in John 16:7, Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And he did. He did in Acts chapter 2, and he does now. John 10:27-28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give life, eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Did you hear that? No one will snatch them out of my hand. So what do we do with that? We're the children of God. We've been given the Holy Spirit of promise. So what do we do with that? What do we do when we're faced with the muck in the ditch? Do we run from Him? Do we run from Jesus when we know we've sinned? That's our flesh, right? That's our first thing. Oh, I'm in sin. I'll go walk away now. You know, not like He doesn't see it, but hey, I'm going to walk away now. Or we start running from our brothers and sisters in Christ because we can't bear the shame of that sin. No, we run to Him. We're children of God. We run to the Father. We run to Jesus Christ. Because we can run to Him, even though we know we've sinned, we know that that's taken care of, right? We have security in that fact. We don't walk in a spirit of fear. We walk in a spirit of exaltation because we have hope. We receive the Holy Spirit's promise, a down payment of inheritance that all followers will receive at the fullness of time. So knowing these truths, right, that God has revealed Himself to us, there's nothing else to reveal. That God, to His own glory, has called us to Himself before the beginning of the world. And knowing that we have the Holy Spirit of promise, does your heart exalt Him? Are you exalting Him when it's bad? Are you exalting Him when it's good? And that's the challenge I would have for you. You know, as we leave this environment, right, we're surrounded by brothers and sisters of Christ, and things can be good. But the fact is, when we go from here, life happens, right? Work, day to day, it happens. The tendency, the sinful desire of our flesh is to do what? Look at the muck. Look at the muck around us. Look at the muck on our shoes. Let's have a heart of worship and exalt our God. Let's pray. Father God, we're just thankful. And God, we're just happy that Your word tells us everything's been revealed, Lord. That God, that You've sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. That God, we don't have to look the muck on our shoes anymore. That God, we don't have to hang out and wallow in it. That God, that we can look up to You and exalt You. Because God, everything that You've wanted us to know, Your salvation plan, everything's been revealed through Jesus Christ. And God, we give You thanks. God, I ask that You be with this church. God, I ask that You continue to bless them as they continue to grow. God, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters here. God, we just give You all the thanks, glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.